ESPN FC 2021 predictions extravaganza. A new year is upon us, so we will be making some resolutions that we may or may not keep. We'll also be making some predictions that may or may not be correct. Chaka Hislop is here with me, Kay Murray, in the studio. We're also delighted to be joined by Gabriele Marcotti, Julien Laron, and Jan Agafyotoft, all who will be giving us their predictions too. And we will start with the man who stole all the headlines in the summer of 2020. It is Lionel Messi and his future. We continue to talk about it after he rounded out 2020 with an interview saying that he will be sending that Burofax again. Things were bad at Barcelona, but now he's a lot happier there. It also said in Mundo Deportivo that he has left the door open, and it certainly seems that way, but as mentioned, he does seem a bit happier than he was in the summer at Barcelona. But we do continue to talk about what he'll be doing next. He didn't say too much about that in his future. But Xhaka, first prediction. For the 21-22 season, where will Lionel Messi be playing his domestic football?
I just can't see Lionel Messi anywhere else but Barcelona. And listen, I recognise how close he came to leaving Barca in the summer for Manchester City. You understand how bad his relationship is with the club. You also recognise that things seemingly on the park are going from bad to worse. But for the life of me, I just cannot see Lionel Messi anywhere else but in Barcelona, wearing that famous red and blue shirt. And I've never bought in to, well, he needs to play his football somewhere else. He needs to win another domestic league title somewhere else to establish himself as one of the best ever, or to keep pace with Cristiano Ronaldo, or any of the other kind of throwaway lines that come with that. He's at one of the biggest clubs in world football. The club is built around him. He's established himself there in the city as his home. I just don't see why he feels or why he needs to go elsewhere. So I'm sticking with Barca. Presidential elections pending. I just feel that enough will change as a result to keep him there.
But Jules, how much will those presidential elections play a part in Messi's decision?
It will play a big part, Kay. Of course, we talked about it many times on the show, but we know how toxic his relationship was with Bartomeu and his team when they were when he was the president and when they were running the club. It was one of the reasons, if not the main reason, why he wanted so desperately to leave last summer as well, because of that broken relationship with Bartomeu. If it was to be Joan Laporta, with whom he has a very good relationship, or Victor Font, who is coming with Jordi Cruyff and with Xavi, being elected, being the president-elect, then I think that could change a lot of things in Messi's mind about staying in Barcelona. Even if I agree with Xhaka, I think deep inside, that's all he wants, is probably to stay in Barcelona. But maybe if the president was not Laporta or Font, someone else with whom he didn't have the same relationship, then I think maybe that would be another reason why he would want to go somewhere else.
And Gab, we know that he wants to continue winning trophies. Where would he be best placed to do that? Because he's mentioned MLS in the further future for him, but in his immediate future, would it be a PSG, a Man City, or is he best placed at Barcelona to do that if things get better there?
Well, so as of right now, if the season were to end today, Manchester City wouldn't be playing in the Champions League, right, next season. Neither would Barcelona. So what I can say for certain is that Lionel Messi will sit, and I think he's going to wait until the last possible moment to make his decision. I think in the end, he's going to stay in Barcelona, for what it's worth, but I have no particular insight. But it would be absolutely mad for him to commit to anything in the near future, precisely because the 2020-21 season is so uncertain. You know, we have Paris Saint-Germain, who could be in fourth place if Marseille win their games in hand. Is that attractive? So there's so much that's up in the air. We don't know if Barcelona, obviously, are going to be in the Champions League next year. So, you know, everybody's going, who's going to say, no, I don't want to win things ever again? Nobody's going to say that. I think he's going to take all his time. I think it's going to be a very difficult decision. And all I ask is that, you know, he be able to make it in serenity without undue pressure, because if there's one thing he's earned with all his service to Barcelona, it's the right to make his own decision.
Yeah, well, this is a player that's deciding how to end his future. What about the man who's just beginning, Erling Haaland? We're going to speak to Jan Agafyotoft about this young player. He's been all over the Spanish press all 2020, pretty much, the same. He's the perfect mate cyber goals, you know, a player designed to score goals, a player who has meditation of one of his secrets, and a player who is in the Norwegian Players Union. Just a joke there, but Jan Agafjordtoft always keeping up to date with what's going on with this young man. Will he be leaving Dortmund next year?
Why should he be leaving one of the most exciting teams? Well, I no idea what will go on at Real Madrid for next season. Gab said it about Barcelona. You never know about that project. I don't agree with the boys. I think he will go to Manchester City. That's been said. I talked about Messi now. But Erling Haaland, he came to Dortmund because he wanted to be there in an exciting team for a young player in developing at this stage of his career. He wants to play for 81,000. He wants to play for the yellow wall. And we shouldn't forget, he's just been there for a year. And most part of that year, there'll be no crowd, there'll be no fans. So I'm 100%, I'm not 100% sure I can't be, but I'm pretty sure that he will stay on in Germany playing for Dortmund. And when you see his record, why should he leave at this stage of his career? His team and this young boy, he's always trying to develop, always trying to learn something, and he will still do that. He's only 20 years of age. He can play in all the leagues in the world the next 13, 14, 15 years. So no rush. So I think that he will stay in Dortmund.
Now that's maybe for next year, but Jules, Real Madrid have got their eyes set on him for 2022. Could you see him going there?
Yeah, certainly, and especially that's the summer where his release clause, the one that he's in his contract, will be triggered. So for 75 million euros, you will be able to get Erling Haaland, maybe more if there's a bidding war above 75, but which is not the case this summer. So I completely agree with Jan. It would make no sense for him to leave now or this summer coming, 2021. However, for 2022, I think he'd probably be ready for a big move to one of the top European clubs.
Xhaka, we know that his father's played a big part in all his decisions so far, alongside Mino Raiola, his agent. If you were advising your young son, who's a starlet like this, like Erling Haaland, what would you tell him to do?
You take the opportunity when it comes. And as much as, you know, I sympathise, he's at Dortmund, he's enjoying his football, he came there to play in front of 80,000. But when big clubs come knocking on your door, it's hard to say no. And even if that interest is ramped up in 18 months' time when that clause kicks in, I think you have a real decision to make. Not only that, I think the kinds of clubs that will be knocking will be hard for both Haaland and Dortmund to say no to. And really, as much as we're talking about Real Madrid here, it is a take-your-pick kind of scenario. Real could do it with a striker. Benzema is 33 now, will be 34 some of 2022. Barcelona could do it with an out-and-out front man. Manchester City, Manchester United also interested. I'm really not sure how with that kind of interest you say no. I don't see it going past the summer of 2022.
Yeah, Real Madrid with Erling Haaland on their wish list. Mbappe as well, and that would be for next year, saying that Real Madrid have the advantage in Diario AS with everything that's there. Zinedine Zidane, a big pull for them, their capacity to win the Champions League that we have seen in recent seasons. So a little French fancy there for Real Madrid. So we'll go to our resident Frenchman. What do you see with Kylian Mbappe for 2021, Jules?
Just leave him alone. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Just 2021. Just leave him alone. He doesn't need anything of that. He doesn't. No. Listen. Of course, it's his dream one day to play at the Bernabeu for Real Madrid. We know that. We've been saying it for years now. The only worry. Well, I think the only thing is I don't think right now Real Madrid can afford him. I'm not sure they can pay the whole package, which would be around 200 to 250 million euros, because it's a huge transfer fee, it's a huge wage, it's a huge commission, and I just don't think that with the pandemic, with the current context, with no fans in La Liga, but probably for the whole season, I just don't think Real Madrid will have that kind of money this summer in 2021. And by then, he might have even extended his contract with PSG, which is the priority for the Parisians, which they're quite optimistic that he will do, because they feel that he wants to stay a little bit longer before going to Real Madrid. So personally, I just don't think it will happen this summer.
Is he the star that Real Madrid need right now, Gab?
I think he'd make any team in the world better. And obviously there is a natural transition there with Benzema getting older. I mean, heck, you know, if money were no object, roll on, get him now, and then get Erling Braut Haaland in 2022, and then you're set, right, forever. You've got Mbappe and Haaland forever. But, I mean, that's kind of like fantasy land thinking right now. I think Real Madrid will obviously need something in the summer, but I think... But I don't necessarily think that they're going to want to put all the eggs in the Mbappe basket for the reasons that Jules cited. You know, they've been hit, obviously, by the pandemic, as has everybody else. They have a huge stadium that they need to fill. And to go out and generate all the cash that's required right now, I think is going to be very, very difficult. And remember, they don't have that many saleable assets either that they can quickly rid themselves of to raise money or to raise part of the money. What they do have is a lot of guys like Eden Hazard and, yes, Gareth Bale, who will be sticking around another year probably and earning an enormous salary. So they need to consider all those things. I don't see this happening in the summer at all.
Gab, I'd like to stay with you to talk about another Frenchman, one of your favourite subjects, Paul Pogba, because he's been the speculation when it comes to transfers. Will he be returning to Juve? Tuttosport to say Juve, Pogba is there. This was an exclusive World interview with Mino Raiola. We know that this paper can be very gossipy. We know it's pro Juve, but do you see this return happening, Gab?
I mean, it's very simple. As we've said before, Manchester United have not offered him a new contract. Mino Raiola has come out and said that Pogba wouldn't sign a new contract if he were offered one right now. So obviously the logical thing is to move him on. But the issue here for Juventus is they have a major liquidity problem. They can't put a lot of money on the plate to go and sign Paul Pogba. So they have to come up with something in exchange that Manchester United might want. And when if you look at Juventus's players, oh, look, they have a guy who's 18 months away from free agency as well, Paulo Dybala. Could you put him in a package for Paul Pogba? I don't know. I think that's going to be difficult because I'm not sure that's a guy that United necessarily need. Are you going to try to stick somebody else in there? You can offer them Bernardeschi. I don't think Juve would want to give up somebody like De Ligt, who United certainly could use. And of course, who's also represented coincidentally, perhaps, by Mino Raiola. I don't know. I think it's going to be really, really tough. I think something may happen in the summer, and this would involve probably some acrobatics, maybe Pogba changing his wage demands, maybe Mino, you know, dropping his price or putting some kind of release clause in there. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up maybe with him getting a one-year extension just to preserve his price if he can't get a move now. Otherwise, he runs the clock down to free agency and he goes wherever he likes.
Well, let's go back to the Norwegian Players Union. Jan, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, his manager at Manchester United, do you think he'd like to keep hold of him, Paul Pogba?
Well, he wants the good Paul Pogba to stay, not that Paul Pogba's just hanging around, because things are changing at Manchester United as well. And I agree with Gab when he's saying that things can also change in terms of his contract there. Because at 1 week, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is gone. And the next week, he is the main challenger for the title. So things may change in and around Manchester United as well. And yes, I can hear Raiola say he won't sign a new contract. Well, Dunking the boxer promoter, he always said that. And they all ended up signing contracts, didn't they? So I can see things changing around. Paul Pogba at his best, the world champion, is needed at Manchester United, but they need a good Paul Pogba.
Jan, and just for you, is this a player that's needed at Manchester United, Jadon Sancho?
Well, I think that after Manchester United tried to get him, after they put all the deadlines in the world, but they didn't put all the money in the world, Manchester United, Jadon Sancho could fit into any club. The latest from Germany as well is that Jadon Sancho is also linked to Liverpool. We just waited for that to come forward, with Jurgen Klopp being the best mate of the CEO Watzke of Dortmund. But Jadon Sancho, after he got all the phone calls from Manchester United, he can't hit the goal. He scored now one or two, but he's not at the form that he used to be. But Jadon Sancho, I think it's for Manchester United exactly the player they need. A player that can excite the fans all around the world. At the moment, they got a lot of good players at Manchester United, but not too many exciting us. So that kind of winger, yes, Jadon Sancho would be a perfect Manchester United player.
Jules, we spoke about Erling Haaland sticking around a little longer at Dortmund as he continues to develop his game. Do you think it would be something that benefits Jadon Sancho to do as well?
Yes, although obviously the contract situation are very different. And also I think that in his mind, Sancho was probably gone last summer. I think he prepared himself to go. He wanted to go to United. He wanted to leave Dortmund. And that's why maybe we don't see the best Jadon Sancho so far this season. Because I think mentally, when the transfer that you want doesn't happen and you have to stay where you want, not that Dortmund is, you know, is a bad place to be right now, but I think he had prepared himself so much to move out of Dortmund, to go back to England, to go to Manchester and in the Premier League, that maybe psychologically he was just not ready for the start of the season. And I'm sure we see a better Sancho in the second half of the season, but I'm sure that deeply he still wants to go to United.
You can find out, actually, if Jadon Sancho features in Gab's article, 30 Wishes for 2021. You can check it out on ESPN.com. Why have 3 wishes when you can have 30? It seems Gab has got all the contacts, including football's generous genies. If you would like to hear more from Gab and Jules, and why wouldn't you? You can check out the Gab and Jules podcast. It drops every Monday and Thursday on ESPN Podcast. You can get it wherever you listen. I was just listening on the way in today, but I did not hear the hot take that I'm told I am about to hear from Julien Laurent, because it's our end of season surprises. And this can be anything. This can be league winners, top 4 finishers, relegation threatened teams. But Jules, apparently it's over in Germany. You think we're going to see quite the surprise in 2021.
That's right, and you can all believe what I'm saying and starting putting some money down, because I think RB Leipzig are going to win the Bundesliga this season. I think it's Nagelsmann's time. I think it's his players' time. Bayern Munich, who are winter champions, to be fair to them, 2 points clear of Leipzig, who are in third, have just not looked as good as they've been last season or in the first half of 2020. And I just think that this time Leipzig will just come in. I can see it towards the end, just come in and just snatch that title, and I think he would be well deserved for Nagelsmann and especially all the French players that he has in his squad.
I'm sure you agree with that, Jan.
Well, Bayern Munich have played with their handbrakes on from the start of the season. They're still leading the Bundesliga, so you can imagine who I think will win. Having said that, I would love to see another champion in Germany. I'm not saying that I'm full of respect of Bayern Munich, but I think it's good for the excitement. I think for the good for the brand Bundesliga. But Bayern Munich have so impressed me. They have so many tools to play on. And even now when Dortmund getting all these young players through, Bayern do the same. So it's hard to compete with them. So I will stick to Bayern Munich and hope Jules have right.
Jan, do you have any of your own big season predictions? Any hot takes from you? Any surprises?
Well, in a season where it doesn't look like anybody wants to win the Premiership, I think that Manchester United could win it. I think there could be a title changer, a challenger. I saw the game against Wolves. I mean, oh my God, that was not a good game. And still they ended up winning that game. Can you imagine when they're getting form? Can you imagine when they will use the transfer window now to get some great players in? Then they will take Liverpool all the way in. And Manchester City got to fight hard to get to bang the top 4. Compete with Aston Villa, who I think will be the best team in England after Corona. So this is going to be a fantastic year with a Norwegian champion of the Premier League.
Gab, what's more likely, Manchester United winning the Premier League or Leipzig winning the Bundesliga?
Well, I was going to take issue with the fact that some people think that the team that were Champions League semi-finalists winning the Bundesliga was going to be a surprise. It's not a surprise. I agree with Jules. They're my pick to win the Bundesliga, especially if they should land Soboslai in January, which is not unthinkable. So I think United winning would be more of a surprise this season in the Premier League. Remember, too, Liverpool have a bunch of injured people who've come back. And by the way, I don't buy this whole thing, well, they play badly, but they win, so that's a good sign. No. If you play badly and you win, it's not a sign of anything. It just means you got 3 points. The sign that you're likely to win is if you actually play well and win. And we haven't seen enough of that. We need to see more of that from Solskjaer and United if they're going to win the Premier League, in my opinion.
And Shaka, I know you'd like the biggest surprise of all with West Ham winning the Premier League, but I think we can both agree that probably won't happen.
Even if I get Gab's 30 wishes, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how use those 30 wishes to make West Ham win, in all honesty. Listen, I understand what everybody's saying, and I'm with Jules in that it would be nice to see another winner in the Bundesliga. I just... I just don't see it. For as inconsistent as Bayern have been, they've only lost once so far. And given the break now, I think they come back all the better. But on the back of Jan's prediction around Manchester United, I'm feeling a little bit better about my own. I was a little uncertain. I've got two. One positive, one not so much. The first positive, I'm going to Atletico Madrid to do the league and Champions League double.
Wow.
And then the negative, and this is a push, Barcelona to finish outside the top four.
Okay, you think Barcelona...
Not bad, not bad.
I'm waiting for the abuse to come my way.
No.
Jan, you said not bad.
No, not bad. I mean, when we see mine and Jules' predictions, I think that is not the worst I've heard. but when you saw how they did against Eibar, you kind of feel that. And the hunger and the passion in that Barcelona side is not there. But as long as they have maybe the best player in the world of all time, I think there is a big chance that they will be top four.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens in Serie A this season as well. It's something we talk about every week on the Serie A Awesome podcast. That's myself, Matteo Bonetti, Mina Rizzucchi and Nikki Bandini. It drops every Wednesday. Make sure to download it wherever you get your podcasts. 2021 brings with it some major tournaments. Champions League, of course, Bayern Munich, odds on favourites to win. Manchester City just behind them. Let's see the pick of our panellists. Any surprises from them? Well, it's Jan Agafyotov for Bayern, Gab Marcotti's gone with Man City, and Julian Aron for PSG. No surprises there. Shaka, you're saying Bayern here. You said Atleti earlier.
Atleti are my outside bet. At 16-1, that's where you go if you want to win money. But Bayern are my favourites.
OK, into the Europa League now, and many Premier League teams to keep your eyes on here. Spurs, Manchester United and Arsenal. We see there Leicester City as well. I wonder if our panellists have picked a Premier League team. Well, Jan, yes, with Spurs. Gab with Napoli. Jules with Napoli too. But Shaki, you have gone for United.
Yeah, this competition, more times than not, won by the team dropping out of the Champions League. United are that, and they've hit good form of late.
Euro 2020, set to be played in 2021. We know that Portugal are the defending champions in this one, but has anybody gone for them to defend that title? Well, let's take a look at the pick from our panellists. Jan's gone with Italy, Gab's gone with Spain, and Jules, surprise, surprise, has gone with France. Shaka, you're sticking with Portugal.
Still can corner Cristiano Ronaldo, though no need to be as reliant. It's a very talented, very balanced Portugal team.
Now let's get to the Copa America. Colombia and Argentina will be the joint venue for it. Argentina up at the top there. Brazil are defending champions, as you can see. Can they go and do it again? Shaka thinks so. Jan says Argentina. Gab says Colombia. And Jules says Argentina as well. But yes, Shaka is sticking with Brazil. It is quite the summer of soccer in 2021. We cannot wait. And we'll see whose predictions come true and remind them if they were wrong. Thanks for joining us on the latest edition of ESPN FC. You can catch us 7 days a week here on ESPN Plus with all the latest from the football world. From myself, from Shaka, Gab, Jules and Jan, thanks so much for joining us. The four of them will be back with me to answer your questions on extra time, including what they'd be doing if they didn't work in football. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Kay Murray and Shaka Hislop here. We've also got Jan Agafyotov, Gabriele Marquetti and Jules Laurent with us. And we'll start with you, Jules. We've been asked by TJ Terega if you are going to Neymar's New Year's Eve bash.
The plane is waiting for me. I just did the show quickly. I've got my luggage is packed and then... Finally, I can leave the UK and have a bit of fun.
There you go. So maybe we can get some stories after Jules gets back from that. I was sticking with you, Joel. Jules. Prosper G asks, what did you make of Antoine Griezmann's performance yesterday? Do you think that it's Messi's fault for Antoine's poor form, or do you think that he doesn't get enough minutes to showcase his talent?
Is that a sarcastic question, do you think?
So.
I mean... Probably. I will always defend him. You know he's one of my boys, so I will always defend him. But I have to say last night, you know that little emoji that we have on the phone, this one line? That was me. That was me.
Fair enough. Gab, we'll go to you next. Sebastian has a question. Should Milan move for Diego Costa, now a free agent, on a low-risk, high-reward rental, maybe for a six-month or one-and-a-half-year contract, to back up Ibra or tag team with him in leading line?
So I'll tell you this much. The only way Diego Costa cancels his contract with Atletico as he did is if he's got another team already lined up. There's no possible way or possible reason why you would forego wages. But I don't think that team is Milan. I certainly don't think that Milan need another guy on likely big wages, because it would be a free agent thing. I don't think he'd just come for 6 months. I think he'd have to commit for at least 18 months. They did fine when Ibra was out. They don't need Ibra insurance. Ibra is a Norse god, like Jan Olga Fjortoff. He'll be back in. He'll be fine, and they'll take a run at this together.
I tell you what, though, Shaka, you would not want to be facing Ibra and Diego Costa as goalkeeper, would you?
No, you wouldn't. Listen, as much respect as I have for Diego Costa and appreciate what he brings to the team, I just don't see that as being a fit for AC Milan right now. I think things are going well. I don't see him as backup or insurance for certainly not for Ibra, but then who is? Doesn't make an awful lot of sense. It's just not a good fit for me.
Okay, next for Jan. Kartik asked, what was the longest period that you'd gone without a goal or an assist? And did you celebrate when you finally broke the drought?
I had a terrible period when I didn't score goals. It was terrible. It was sad. It's the worst 30 minutes in my life. I got to be honest with you. I had a terrible spell when I came for Rapid Vienna. I came to England. I came to Swindon Town in the Premiership. We were newly promoted. Played the first game at Sheffield United. Got a small injury. I still played on. So I had 10, 11 games without scoring goals, out of the team. And then after, in the new year, it kind of kicked off again. And that was terrible. I mean, for a striker, that is that extra pressure you have. I don't like Sentinel saying he's a good striker, but not scoring enough goals. Then he's not enough striker. A striker got to score goals. Finish, finito, period.
Absolutely. Okay, first Jules and then Gab on this next one. It's from Jamnal saying, where will Leeds United end up this season in the Premier League table? Jules.
That's a good one. I mean, I think that they're just, 5 points behind five place right now, or something like this. I think they will finish in ninth position, happy, as many goals scored, as many goals conceded, like they are right now, 30 and 30, almost like an ESPN documentary. I think that will be perfect.
Gab?
Yeah, by the way, I want to watch the ESPN 30 for 30 about Bielsa as soon as it comes out. We're supposed to say that, they're going to tail off in the second half of the season because they'll all be tired, because that's the big Leeds Bielsa cliche, and other teams go and figure them out. I don't know. There's so much quality. There's so much forward momentum. I think they could still make some moves in January. I'm going to go one better than Jules and say eighth.
Okay, next up, and I promise you this is not my burner account, it's from Busted Spike, asking, what was Jan's favourite Borough goal?
Okay, we know that all my goals were celebrated in your home, at least. I think there must be the goal. I had a Buzz Aldrin goal at Riverside Stadium. We played Chelsea, it was a great Chelsea side. And that was the first game at Riverside Stadium. Gullit was playing. It was a fantastic night at the Riverside. Craig Hignett got the first goal. I got the second goal on a volley. I was happy that Craig got it, because Craig was a Borough boy. I just came into the revolution at Borough. And that was a fantastic feeling. Every day we saw this great stadium developing, when we went to Ayrton Park to train and train in some park, and then we were finally in that great stadium. So get that second goal in the first game against Chelsea, winning against Chelsea, I must give you that as an answer.
Oh, great. Well, hopefully the good times will roll again next year at the Riverside Stadium.
Being all nice
that
to the host.
That was a nice one for me, wasn't it? Shaka, you next from Castle Rock Brit, who says, how many points will Sheffield United win this season? Will they set an all-time low?
Yeah. I think they will. What was it so far? Two so far this season? I mean, to be at this stage of the season and this poor, you just wonder how or where it gets better. And just given the issues that this season has thrown up because of COVID-19 and the quick turnover of games, you just don't know where that saving grace for them is going to come. Who's worse right now? Is it Derby back in whenever? Anyway, I can't remember. I just don't see them getting anywhere near. I think it's 11 points you have to get to, something like that. I don't see it.
Ye of little faith. Jan, hate is going to hate, potato is going to potato. What do you say about Sheffield United this season?
Well, first of all, I think it was a great signal by the owners of Sheffield United to give the support to Chris Wilder, because I think he's one of the best ones around. If it wasn't for him, they would be in League One, Sheffield United. So that is a great thing. I don't think it's over yet. I think it doesn't over. I'm hoping at a miracle. I mean, this is the time of the miracles. Let's get on and get some points in there. It's 8 or 9 points up. It's going to be very hard. But still, they always lose with that one goal. They're a bit unlucky this season, or not good enough. I know that. But still, there is a hope. And I have to cling to that.
Jack, are you looking up the points?
I was. It's two. I guessed right. It's 2 points.
Okay.
I'm happy with that.
Good question coming next from Dan the Orange Man. It starts with you, Gab. If you had not been involved in the football industry, what job would you have pursued? Gab, I'm sure you'd be a great food critic.
Why, thank you. That would be, I think being a restaurateur would certainly be very legitimate passion of mine, and perhaps something I might be able to dabble in on the side real soon.
Ah, a little hint there. Maybe something new for 2021 from Gab Marcotti. No well done steaks there. No pineapple on a pizza.
No
ketchup. What about you, Shekhar?
Mechanical engineer. I've got a degree in mechanical engineering.
Of course.
It was always my dream to design cars as my dream job growing up. So that's where I'm going to go.
Yeah, a geek, mm-hmm. a nerd, but a very smart one at that. But what about you, Jan?
I would probably have been the Prime Minister of Norway if I wasn't a football
player. I believe that.
There's still time. Jules, we'll end with you. If you've not been involved in the football industry, what would you be doing?
I would have been an NBA player, of course. I have the talent. The size, almost everything. That was my destiny, but I chose football, you know.
Shaka gets the final word on this one. What's more likely, Jules as an NBA player or Jan as the Prime Minister of Norway?
Jan as the Prime Minister of Norway.
That's nice.
I don't think that's happening. I don't think that's ever happening. But Jules as a basketballer, come on.
That's one surprise too far.
That's I mean, I know it's 2020 and all weird things, but let's be honest. I don't see Jules being much of an athlete.
Okay, just to end there, what's more likely?
Oh, my God, that's so mean.
Gab to eat a well-done steak or Gab to eat pineapple on a pizza?
Gab to eat pineapple on a pizza. I've never seen somebody more disgusted with a well-done steak than Gabriele Marcotti.
That will do it for the latest edition of Extra Time. We'll have to fly because Gab will have nightmares about that tonight. And Jules has got a flight to catch to Neymar's New Year's party.
I'm going.